Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Becca Weirwell, writes stories to show kids they are wonderfully created for the unique adventures in their lives. Born with what some might consider a handicap, Becca aims to help others find beauty in what makes them extraordinary. Mom by day and novelist by, well, relatively early in the morning, Becca is the author of Road Trip Rescue, a contemporary middle grade novel. Good morning, Becca. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Hi, Patty. Thank you so much for having me.
Becca, I'm so excited to have you. I love your book. We're going to talk about your book here in a few minutes. But first of all, I want to talk a little bit about you. I know that you enjoy going to libraries and places like that and meeting with kids and reading to kids and talking to kids. When people meet you, kids or no, what do they notice about you that is a little different from other people?
Well, I'm so glad you're asking that question because obviously the listeners can't see me, so they can't see this for themselves. But I was born with a limb difference. So I was born with only half of my right arm. My right arm ends right below the elbow, so I don't have a hand on that side. And I'm glad you mentioned kids, too, because that is something that I try to tell kids the first time right away when I'm meeting them because it is so different, and a lot of them haven't seen anyone with a limb difference before. So I like to talk to them about how I was born that way and that's how God created me. And it can be a really great starting point for a conversation because we talk about how I learned how to do everything that they can do, only I just do it a little bit differently, and how God makes all of us different because the world would be really boring if we all looked exactly the same. So it can be a fun conversation point.
Well, I noticed you have a little video on your website, and I watched that, and some of the questions that the children ask are questions that I would want to ask, too. How difficult was it for you to learn to do things like, oh, my goodness, I'm thinking about tying your shoes. Sometimes I can't even tie my own with two hands, and just different things like that. What kind of challenges did you face growing up?
Well, to be honest, the physical challenges weren't as hard as you might think. I often have people, if they've broken their arm, they'll come to me and they'll say, oh, now I know how you feel. Everything is so hard to do. And I say, actually, you have it a lot harder than I do. Because since I only ever had one hand, I learned how to do everything that way. And I joke that I don't even know what I would do if I had my right arm. If I woke up one day and I had two arms suddenly, I'd be at a bit of a loss of what to do with the other one because I learned how to do everything with one. And so you mentioned tying my shoes. I actually was the first in my kindergarten class to learn how to tie my own shoes because I had an occupational therapist at the time. And she really emphasized that. She's like, I want to make sure you know how to tie your shoes. So I remember learning that super early on. There aren't a whole lot of things that I can think of that have really been a challenge physically. I do say jumping rope, if I'm the one who's supposed to be holding both ends of the rope, that's a challenge. Or I recently had a child ask, well, can you do a cartwheel? And I said, well, you got me there. I can't do a cartwheel, but I kind of doubt I'd be able to do a cartwheel even if I had two arms. I'm just not that coordinated. So physical challenges have not been a huge struggle for me. So I would say more of the emotional side of things, growing up trying to cope with being a little different and dealing with the insecurity that can come with that.
Right. Yes. And I can understand that. But, you know, you make a good point, Becca, because I had interviewed a lady some time ago who was born blind. And we talked about her learning Braille and all that kind of thing. And she said, well, no, it wasn't that hard for me because that was the way I learned how to read. You know, just like people learn how to, that are sighted. And it's like, oh, yeah, once a person is born with a certain limitation, that's probably not that much of a limitation to them because they don't know anything different. So, yeah, you bring up a good point with us about that. If you would you share with us what were some of the challenges that you had to handle as far as relationships with friends in school and that sort of experiences?
Yeah, especially as a young child. It can feel like a lot to have people staring at you, to be on the playground and see the other kids talking or maybe whispering. And I have found that a really great way to alleviate that is, like I said, to talk about it right away. So before kids can start talking and making up stories about, you know, thinking, oh, did she get attacked by a shark or did this certain thing happen to her? Before they can get to any of that, to be able to explain that I was born that way can be helpful. My mom did an excellent job of this while I was growing up because she would often come in with me to school in the first week of school in elementary school, and she would tell the kids about my arm, and she would bring in my prosthetic arms. We'd do a little bit of a show and tell. I used to have prosthetic arms that I had used when I was younger, and so she'd help talk with them about that. I do still remember kids staring at me or making maybe unkind comments, and I don't think their comments were always meant to be unkind, but sometimes people say things without thinking, and those can really stick around, and they can affect you. And so I think those were the biggest things. I know I remember specifically in gym class, we had to do certain physical fitness things in order to get, I think it was the Presidential Fitness Award. And part of that was doing pull-ups. And I was able to do a lot of pull-ups because I could just hook my elbow, my right elbow around the bar. And a lot of the other kids thought that was really unfair. And I remember thinking, well, that's not fair. Like, this is the best I can do. This is all I can do. And if I can't do it this way, what am I supposed to do? So I remember feeling like that was upsetting.
Well, it sounds like you had some really strong support in your mom. And I agree with you, Becca, that if a person discusses an issue right up front, it alleviates an awful lot of misconception and whispering and things like that. So, yeah, it sounds like both physically and emotionally, it was a good experience, I think, for those young people in your classes to learn about what was going on. So, yeah, that sounds really great. Becca, what motivated your interest in writing? Is that something that you couldn't wait for the teacher to assign an essay, or were you like, it wasn't until years literally later that you got interested in writing? Where do you stand on that spectrum?
I have loved writing ever since. Honestly, I was making up stories before I could even write. So it goes way back as early as I can remember. When I was in elementary school, I rode the late bus. And so we had to wait after school in the school cafeteria. And a lot of the kids would play games or they'd talk with each other. And I would sit at a table with my purple notebook and I'd make up stories of islands made of candy and talking teddy bears and all sorts of stuff like that. So I always loved creating stories. And growing up, I'd always have something that I was working on some sort of story. And then it wasn't until years later, though, that I really started to pick it back up and take it more seriously and actually start finishing novels instead of just writing lots and lots of first chapters.
Why did you choose middle grade readers as your target audience? Had you worked with middle grade students to some degree, or do you have a teaching background, or what encouraged you to choose that genre?
Well, at first I wasn't sure what genre I'd write, and I messed with a lot of different things. I wrote some nonfiction, I wrote some fiction, I played around in some different genres. And the one day I wrote a story, and it had that middle grade voice. I think the protagonist was maybe 10 or 11, and it was a story that had actually been loosely based on my own childhood. And that story has never seen the light of day. It's still somewhere deep away in my computer files. So it was very raw, and it's very unedited, very messy. But it really, I resonated with that voice and I loved it. And I think the reason I love that age range, that 8 to 12-ish middle grade age range, is because those are the stories that really resonated with me as I was growing up. And those are the stories I remember most. If I read a story now, to be honest, I don't remember it for that long always, unless it was really impactful. But I still remember a lot of the stories I read when I was in that age range, because you're growing up and a lot of those stories can really speak to you. God can really speak to your heart through those stories. For those reasons, I think I've really started to stick with that middle grade audience. After writing that story, I started to research more about the market, read a lot more middle grade books that are out there today, and I really fell in love with the genre. And you asked if I had a teaching background. I never taught middle grade, that like 8 to 12 age range. But I did teach kindergarten for, I think, 4 years. My time as a teacher still really influences my writing, because even though we read a lot more picture books, we did sometimes read some chapter books or even like a middle grade that we do as a read aloud. And so I think about that a lot as I'm creating stories.
Well, I have to tell you, I read Road Trip Rescue has been out for a couple of weeks now, and I had the opportunity to read it. And, oh, Becca, I love this story. So would you give us a little synopsis without telling us too much? Give us enough to whet the appetite of our listeners without telling us the whole story.
Yeah, I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Patty. That's wonderful. Road Trip Rescue is the story of a 12-year-old girl named Kimmy. And Kimmy, like me, was born with one hand, so missing half of her right arm, just like me. But the rest of her story is a little bit different. Kimmy has had a hard time making friends, and she particularly carries the weight of one of her, well, her very best friend betraying her by talking about her behind her back. And so she has had trouble making friends, but she had this dog that she loved so much, and his name was Bo, and she felt like, well, Bo never would say anything unkind about her. Bo she could trust, and of course, Bo can't talk, but even if dogs could talk, she knows Bo wouldn't say anything unkind. But then she lost this dog, and so the story picks up 2 years after Kimmy lost her dog, Bo. Kimmy is flipping through a magazine, and she stumbles across a photo of a dog that she knows has to be Bo. This dog looks just like Bo. And so immediately she knows she has to do whatever it takes to go find Bo. Through this magazine that she's reading, she knows that the dog was up in the Adirondacks in New York. And so she tries to recruit her parents to take her on this road trip. They can't. However, her aunt Skylar, who loves adventure and happens to go on a road trip every summer, agrees to a road trip that with a stop in the Adirondacks so Kimmy can pursue her long-lost dog. So basically, this is a road trip adventure with a girl in search of her lost dog, Bo.
And I have to tell you, Becca, there were times I had to put that book down, and it was like, I cannot read the next chapter because it's going to break my heart when I find out what happens to this dog. I don't want to tell readers, but believe me, the story is well worth reading to the very end. It was,
you know,
Patty, it's
funny, Patty, because I never thought I would like to make people cry. But since becoming an author, there are times where I'm like, oh, if I can evoke deep emotion in my readers, if my story can make them really feel something, enough that they can laugh, enough that they can cry, that is just the best feedback that I can get from the story.
Well, let me tell you what, you accomplished that goal because, yeah, it was a very moving story, and it was well told, and I just loved Aunt Skylar, and of course, Kim, she was just a little angel of a girl, and I just love the deep emotion that you created in her and that you invoked in your readers, and oh, you just did a fantastic job with your story. And then, of course, I don't know if I've even told you this, but there was an immediate connection for me because I was born and raised in New York, and my dad is from the Adirondack country. So when we went on vacations, that's where we went, to the Adirondacks. I just got back from the Adirondacks a couple of months ago, visiting my sister back there. So that connection of the setting was very strong for me as well. It was like, oh, wow, the Adirondacks.
I love that you were able to connect to the setting and could maybe envision it more than a lot of readers might be able to who haven't been there. And if you haven't been there, the Adirondacks is such a fun place to visit. I'm in Pennsylvania, so it's not too terribly far for me. But the story had actually been inspired around the time my family took a trip there. I was like, oh, I could write a trip about going here. I love it. The setting was very inspiring. I love the mountains. I love to be outside. And so Road Trip Rescue carries a lot of that outdoor adventure feel. They go camping and stuff like that.
Yes, and I can't recall if you mentioned in your notes or anywhere in the book a town that you had modeled your story after, did you or no?
Yes, I did. In the story, Kimmy is going to a town called Lake Ridgeford because in the magazine that she sees the picture of Bo in, that's the town where the photo was taken, Lake Ridgeford, New York. And that is based loosely on Lake Placid, New York. And the reason is that's A, that's the town that we had visited, so I could get some direct inspiration from going there with my family. But also, the town of Lake Placid is known for being dog-friendly, and so that plays a part into the story, too, because this photo that Kimmy finds of Beau, he's eating an ice cream cone in New York, and he's at this ice cream shop that is dog-friendly. The dogs can come inside, and so that's something that Lake Placid actually does have. They have an ice cream shop where the dogs can come in, and we were there, and my dog got to come in, and that's her first and only time ever being in an ice cream shop.
I was pretty sure that you had mentioned Lake Placid, but I wasn't completely sure because it's kind of funny. I just finished a book last night by an entirely different author that also took place in the Adirondacks, and she mentioned Lake Placid, and I thought, well, now I can't remember if Becca mentioned it or not, but yeah, my folks lived in the next town in Saranac Lake for many years after retirement. There was a big retirement apartment building there in Saranac where they lived. So, oh yeah, I'm well familiar with the Adirondacks and I love that country. And I thought, oh, you couldn't pick a better place to write your story. So that was,
oh, what a
that
fun
was
connection.
Really, oh yes, absolutely. We'll take a break here where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen. My guest today is Becca Weirwell, author of the middle grade contemporary novel Road Trip Rescue. If you would like to listen to this episode again or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That's pattisheen.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a more information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Becca. What messages do you want readers to receive from this story, Becca? I could name a couple. Let you name what you had in mind.
Well, to start with all of my stories, I want to show kids that they are wonderfully created by God. That's a big part of my mission in writing, that they're wonderfully created in their differences, and that in the gifts and abilities he's given them, God has equipped all of us in different ways for the adventures he has in store for us. So I'm hoping that comes across in Kimmy's story. And then the other theme that kind of weaves its way through Road Trip Rescue is the theme that you are never alone. And I didn't set out writing this with the intention of sharing that message, but as I was revising, I saw the way it was woven through Kimmy's story. And the fact that Kimmy feels like she's alone, but even when she doesn't have friends, even when she doesn't have Beau, she's not alone. And even when she feels like God isn't listening to her prayers or isn't answering her, he's still there and he does still hear her. And that is so true for us as well, because even if we don't relate to Kimmy on maybe we don't have a limb difference or maybe we never lost a dog or maybe we just don't relate to her in those ways, but I think a lot of readers can relate to those feelings of loneliness and feeling like, why isn't God answering my prayers? But it's true that God does hear us and he is listening, even when he doesn't answer in an audible way or in the way we might expect. So I'm hoping that comes across in the story as well.
Yes, and another theme that I noticed was that Kimmy is just so set on getting to where they're going to supposed to find her dog, right? And Aunt Skylar is kind of like, oh, well, let's spend a few hours here. And, oh, why don't we go see this? And, well, we can do this. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the way we are. We're always in such a rush to do things. And there's that reminder of, hey, slow down. Take advantage of what is available. Enjoy yourself. Don't be in such a big rush. And I really enjoyed that theme. And you also brought in some characters that were of a different race, which I thought was neat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so halfway through the story, there are some other characters who are introduced, and they take Kimmy's journey on a way in a direction she doesn't expect. But yeah, they're from Guatemala, and so they're Guatemalan, and they've lived, particularly there's a boy Kimmy's age, his name's Daniel, and he has lived in the U.S. for his entire life. So he never actually lived in Guatemala, but his family was from there. But because of that, he doesn't speak Spanish or anything, but they are Guatemalan in heritage. And yeah, Aunt Skylar, Love her, and I love her road trip rules too. So she has some different rules that she announces, and yeah, I do think that is a good theme too, to really be in the moment and soak up the adventure wherever you're at, instead of being so focused on the destination and on getting somewhere in the future.
And another important theme, Kimmy is under the impression that she has been horribly betrayed by her parents, and she comes to find out that things are not nearly what she thought they were. I don't want to put any spoilers here, but she just has this feeling of, talk about feeling alone. I mean, she just feels totally betrayed by them and doesn't understand why they would do what she thinks they did. And I thought that was a really strong theme too, that sometimes, especially young people, don't understand the reasoning behind what older people, parents, grandparents, whatever, do. And there's always a good reason. Well, 99.9% of the time anyway,
sometimes
there's a good reason for what we've done and why. So I thought that was another really great theme. And I love the connection that you draw between people and their pets. That's a big thing. You know, pets are a part of your family. And Kim is just so heartbroken to have lost Bo when she did. And even, 2 years later, she just feels this strong connection to him, that she just has to have this dog back in her life. And I enjoyed that aspect of it too. So you just had so many messages to share in your book, and for young people especially, I thought it was great.
It's fun to hear what different people take away from it as they're reading the story, and the different themes and different parts of the story that stick out to different people. I think that's something that's really powerful about story in itself, is that different people can read the same novel and come away with different takeaways, and God can speak to us through art, through the creation of humans, through writing in so many different ways.
Exactly, and that's the very next thing I was going to talk about with you, was why are stories such an important teaching tool, not only for children, but for adults as well? Why do we get so much out of story?
Well, I think we learn a lot from the greatest storyteller. I mean, Jesus told stories all the time, and he used parables to communicate his messages to people. And so I think it carries forward from that even, is Jesus could tell stories to communicate important truths. And we have the ability to do the same thing, because he has created us to be able to create as well. I think that stories make a particularly helpful teaching tool for kids, because it's not like you're sitting them down to a lecture, not like you're preaching at them. Granted, some stories can feel that way, but kids can detect that coming from a long ways away. But it can be really powerful for a child to be able to learn from a fictional story, that they can form this connection with a character, and they can put themselves in someone else's shoes. There's also this development of empathy. And then in this more subtle way, they are coming to learn truths through the character, and through seeing this lie the character believed at the beginning, and then the truths they come to see, and how that progresses. That those things together can make stories such a powerful way of teaching kids. And then the same applies for adults as well. Being able to read a story, and God can communicate through that story and whatever we're going through in our lives. And depending on what you're going through, where you're at, and what your life stage is, you're going to learn something different through that story because of it.
Yes, and I think we can learn a lot about choices from characters, because, like you did, a good writer is going to put choices in the way of the characters, and they're going to either do this or do that, or think this way or think that way, and what are the consequences going to be of that. And I think that we all can learn a lot from what the characters experience in their stories. So yeah, there's a lot to be said for telling story, that's for sure. And it is so fun to be, I can't do it, but I think it would be so fun to be able to write for young people. How long did it take you to write your book, Becca?
Well, let me see. So I started writing it in 2021. It was a few months drafting it. So drafting for me is the faster part of the process. The part that I spend a lot of time on is the revising. And so I worked on it, I'd say a few months drafting. I don't know the exact number, but then probably close to 2 years of revising. So lots of revision, lots of people looking at it. Yeah, that's about how long it took.
Well, that sounds about right, though. But you came out with a really good story, too. So it's worth the time.
Yeah.
It's worth the,
well,
the
thank
time
you.
That
and
you
also,
invested
it's just
into
a lot
it.
Of a lot of time reading other books that are in the genre, and it's hard when you're making that decision. What is going to be the right story to start with? What is the first story that God has that I'm going to be putting out into the world? It's a big, intimidating thing, and so I don't think that every story now is going to take me that long to revise, because I am hoping to put out more stories for readers now, because that's something about middle grade. I mean, these 8 to 12-year-olds who are reading the story now, they're going to, in a couple years, they'll be aged out of that age range. Not that they can't read middle grade, but they're going to be interested in reading higher levels of stories as well. So I want to be able to put out more stories soon so those readers have other things to enjoy, and because there are going to be more stories that kind of continue this one a little bit.
Well, and another thing that I discussed with another guest here, oh, it's been about a month ago since that show aired, Becca, is what is being put out there for young people today, and some of it is not very good. So it's nice to have people like you who are writing wholesome stories to our kids, because
yeah,
some of the messages
it
are being put out there are, and I wondered what you had encountered in your research of middle grade books.
It is a big need right now in writing for children. A lot of stories are currently trying to push values that many Christian families would not be behind. And so a lot of parents can feel this need because they're like, well, what can I trust that my child can read, that these things aren't going to be slipped in? This subliminal messaging or these just other agendas that aren't even necessarily reflected on the back cover copy. So you'd never know it when you pick up the book. But once you get in and you're like halfway through, a character might be introduced that's making certain choices that aren't going to reflect the values of a lot of families, of the families in my audience. So that definitely, as I was doing research, that's something that I realized that I wanted to fulfill that need, is to have stories that have good messages and values that parents can get behind and that they can feel good about giving the story to their readers and trust that I'm not going to be sliding things in there that are going to make them uncomfortable, because this just isn't, it's not the age, it doesn't feel fair to me, I should say it this way, to take advantage of, to make a story a chance to take advantage of a child's imagination and to try to get them to think a certain way or to change their opinion on something. It's not fair to me. And so I think it's important that stories are out there that do have good, wholesome content and values.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. And there was another point that we made too in that show, and now I can't even recollect what it was. But, you know, the general feeling was just exactly what you expressed, that parents sometimes don't even know what's between the covers of some of those books. And there are those hidden agendas and those trends away from what we call traditional values that are just really disturbing. And oh, I know the point I made when I was talking with this other lady. I said, I can't really speak to it because, hey, my only grandkid is out of college, for crying out loud. So it's been a long time since I've even had any dealings with what's being read in the schools. But I've heard from other parents, and I've heard from other people on different shows, too, that there is a lot of concern out there about what our young people are being exposed to. And it's not only in books, but it's in the media and music and everywhere else. And we could get way off track and talk about that all day. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is it's a blessing that we have authors like you and like this other person that I interviewed a while back who are willing to step out there and fill that need. So thank you for that. Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful book. Oh my goodness. Even as an adult, well past the age of middle grade, let me tell you, I love this story.
Well,
I'm
so glad to hear that
again.
I'm so glad you loved it. And you know, I had very much so an 8 to 12 year old in mind as I wrote it, but I have had a lot of adults who enjoy it too. And I'm glad, because as an adult myself, I love middle grade. I love this age. I still love to read these books. So they're still some of my favorite things to read. Even in reading for fun, I'll pick those books up a lot. And yeah, I feel that as I read literature for kids and I I want to be able to also recommend books to families who are feeling this need. So I've been trying to connect with a lot of other authors, a lot of Christian authors who have the same goal to create good, clean, wholesome literature with values that families can trust. And there are authors out there that are doing it. And so I'm really thankful that God has chosen me to be part of that, to bringing stories that families can trust giving to their kids.
Yes, exactly. So what's next for you? Do you have another, you don't have a sequel to Road Trip, do you?
Yes, there will actually be two more books in the Road Trip Rescue series. So when I originally wrote Road Trip Rescue, it was as a standalone. But after I wrote it, I had started to think a little bit about, oh, I wonder if there could be more stories with these characters. And then one of my beta readers suggested that Daniel, who is, I had mentioned him before, he is a character that comes in about halfway through the story, that they'd love to have a story from Daniel's point of view. I started brainstorming a little, and his story started to kind of come to life in my imagination. So Daniel's story will be next. It'll be the second in the series. And then I do have a third book in store, too. I don't want to say too much about that one right now because it's still in the very early stages. So right now, book two is in revision stages. A couple of my critique partners are helping me with that right now. Book three is in very, very early drafting stages. Book two will probably be available maybe in the spring. I am hoping to pre-launch it with a Kickstarter campaign, which is what I did for Road Trip Rescue as well. So yeah, there will be more stories coming soon. They will all stand on their own, like Road Trip Rescue stands on its own, but they will mean the most if you read them in order, because you'll be reading the characters' stories in order.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear you say that, Becca. I will definitely have to watch for those next books.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to get those next books out there. It's been fun to dive back into their world, and it's been really interesting writing from a different character's perspective and seeing Kimmy not being in her head, but seeing her from the outside has been fun, and being able to see the way that she did transform in the first book and how that's reflected now in the second book and in her interactions now.
Well, neat.
I am so grateful for all of the authors out there, and Patty, you have so many great conversations on here, but authors who are using the gifts that God has given them to share stories that are making a difference in people's lives. I think that is so powerful. And there are values. I mean, there are so many books out there that just you read it and it gets you thinking about your own life. So we talked about stories mattering, but things like forgiveness. You can read a story and you can realize, oh, you know, I think I need to work on forgiveness in this area of my life, or honesty, or all of these different values that I think you can get stories and in ways that you wouldn't necessarily get in your everyday life. And so I am so grateful for all of the authors out there that are putting amazing, wonderful books out into the world. I'm grateful for the readers who are invested in reading and the parents who are still valuing books for their kids too. I love it when parents buy lots of books for their kids. I have a daughter and she's only 7 months, but we still have plenty of books for her already. But it's just, it's fun to be part of this community of writers and readers, and it's fun to see the way God can work through stories on all different ends. And I am grateful to you for all these conversations that you host, so we get to talk about it and we get to hear more about other stories and in all different ways.
Well, thank you, Becca. It's a joy to have you on the show, and thank you so much for all that you shared today. And another thing I'd like to bring up to listeners, and I don't emphasize this as often as I should, is if you do read a good book, please leave a review of it, especially on Amazon, because that generates this algorithm thing that none of us really understand. But anyway, the more reviews are out there, the better, and the better marketing it is for that particular author. And if you really want to promote an author who is putting good stuff out there, that's one of the ways to do it. So I just thought I would add that. Again, Becca, thank you so much. This has just been fun. I just love talking about this story and talking about the Adirondacks and just visiting with you. So until next time, maybe, God bless you. May God continue to bless you in your writing endeavors.
Thank you. God bless.
Listeners, in closing, thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PATTISHEENE.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheen. Until next time, God bless you.